This is the BBC.
Here's Friday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. Who will win the week on bangers? It's 2-2 at the moment. We get really confused about pantomimes. Also, another great story from James, the real-life private investigator. And somebody on the show discovers fish and chips for the very first time. Scott Mills, BBC Radio. This week on the show, Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg took part in the very British tradition of opening Christmas crackers. But the ones we made them open weren't the kind of ones you'd open with your family on Christmas Day.
Oh. That is a pot pipe with a hole.
It looks like that.
No, it's not. No, that's a big Don't do that. If there was a bottom in it, yeah, see that? That's where the...
It's a wine stopper. It's not a
It's something like that.
It doesn't look like
okay.
It doesn't look like my
Okay.
Scott Mills.
Also, we saw the return of Ghostbusters. You know when you're getting on really well with someone and then they just stop replying? Roisin called us to tell us about a bloke she met who ghosted her, so we called him and asked him why. And he answered the phone. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. I wonder if you can help me. My name is Scott Mills. I'm calling from Radio 1. You still there?
Yes, I am, yeah.
Okay, cool. So we have been speaking to this girl who I think you went on a date with.
Okay.
And her name is Roisin. Hang on, here she is. Have a chat.
Hi.
Hi, Roisin, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
So we want to know why we're not going on a date.
Yeah.
Oh, God. She just wants to be talked through it.
Well, you were a great crack, great date. I think it was just the distance, me being in London, you potentially going to Australia. I can't afford the air miles.
Okay. Could you not have just told me that?
Yeah, that's my bad.
Just ignoring me?
Cringe! One. Then Big Shaq came to see us. We hired a grand to perform Nan's Not Hot with him and got his views on various things. Here's Big Shaq on Blue Planet.
Put me on a red one.
No, the Blue Planet is a TV show with David Attenborough.
Animal. You know, man like Attenborough, with the birds.
With the birds. Yeah. Well, it's more sea creatures, but there are some birds on this one, actually. Yeah, you're right.
Sea creatures. Quack, quack.
True, he's not done ducks yet, I don't think.
No ducks as yet.
Yeah, quack, quack, bring the doves out.
One! Then the next day, Anne-Marie came in and we did the same thing. Anne-Marie on Men.
Some all right, some aren't. Same as everyone, though, isn't it?
That was this week on the show. Let's do Friday.
BBC Radio 1. Where it begins.
Last time we spoke to James, the private investigator, he told us about the story. He had to go to a 40th birthday party. Didn't know the person, but the 40th person who was its 40th, he had to pretend to be a guest at the party.
Yeah, and he had to blag his way in. It's fascinating how he went about it as well. And the awkward moment that some of the guests started questioning him when he was in there.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, yeah, I work with them. And then some of the actual workmates of this person were like, well, we work with her too. He's like, I mean, in a previous job. I mean, 99% of what he does is just blagging it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So James, the private investigator, actually spies on people from bushes and that, is going to be on at 1:40 this afternoon.
It's great, this, because it's like having a sort of show PI.
Amazing,
really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just love that we've got someone as a role.
I love that it's someone's
as a
job.
PI, yeah.
Someone says, I might not say the name, someone in Manchester says, can you do me a favour and ask your PI today if he can give some pointers to tell if you yourself have been pursued by a PI? Oh, he thinks he's being followed.
Scott Mills.
We love to chat to our show private investigator, James, on a Friday. This guy spies on people for a living. That's his job. Every day is a different stakeout. James left us with this cliffhanger last week.
It also wasn't as good as the time I had to go undercover to a massage parlour and they tried to get my clothes off me.
He's so good at teasing you.
Yeah.
Hello, James.
Hi, guys.
Where are you at the moment?
Are you deep in the bush?
No, I was in the bush last night, though.
Were you?
South London bush, yeah.
Wow, okay, that's for another time.
Next week.
Yeah.
But are you currently staking out right now? That's what I mean. Are you being quiet? Like,
no, not today.
Okay. Right, tell us all about the massage parlour.
Okay, so It was a while ago now. I had to go undercover to a massage parlour. The story is a bit cringy, so just a forewarning to your listeners.
Okay.
It wasn't, I'd say, the most legitimate of massage parlours, not that I've been to many of them, but it was a bit dodge.
Right, so, I mean, how do you know that it's dodge?
Well, there was a secret password and a knock.
What is the password to get in?
I honestly can't remember now, but it was something obscure. I think it was a sentence, but I can't remember what it was.
Oh, I see what you mean. It was like you were making a delivery. So you do the special knock, it'd be like...
Yeah.
And it's like, the crow flies south.
Yeah,
tonight. I think I had to ask for a certain name or something, like Stephen or something.
Can I speak to Stephen, please? And at that point, the door creaks open.
Yeah, literally.
Okay, and then what happens?
So I had to go in, and I had to prove that a specific female was working at this place.
Right. Was that the job then, was it?
That was the job, to prove she was working there and what she was doing there. Exactly.
Well, who asked you to do that?
So the client, this was his girlfriend who we thought was working there, but he was already married, which is a bit of a mess on its own.
All right.
So, yeah, he wanted to prove that his girlfriend on the side was working in this massage parlour.
Right, so he thinks this bit on the side, who, is working in the massage parlour, even though he's married?
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly
that would be disloyal, of course, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. So I have to go in and I have to obviously identify this female, and it's a bit awkward there. And my objective is to just get as much talking as done as possible.
Yes.
And not preferably have a massage.
Right. Well, how are you going to manage that?
Is it just unprofessional to have a massage whilst you're doing the job?
Well, I'm wearing a hidden camera and a microphone, like a wire as well.
Of course. So
you've got a wire.
Yeah, and because listen, James, when I learned this the hard way, when I had my first massage, I was with Scott and I was in Cavos. And
I just remembered this.
I learned the hard way, because you do take off your clothes, but then the idea is you lie there on the bed and you put a towel over you. And what I did is I didn't know what I was doing. The lady left the room so I could remove my clothes.
But I didn't tell her.
But what happened is no one told me the etiquette, so I then stood there facing forward.
I didn't tell him.
So then the lady came back in and there was this horrible noise where she was like, oh no! Yeah. No. And anyway, Scott could hear this because there was a sort of dividing wall.
Yeah.
I thought I had to make noises of appreciation throughout.
So all I could hear was oh, because he thought that like if you're being massaged, you should make a noise like you appreciate it, which is all the wrong thing to do.
So you were worried about wearing a wire, James, and that's the problem with taking off your clothes and having a massage.
Yeah, she was trying to get my clothes off me and get me into a bath. But obviously, I was more interested in talking to her. And I was trying to say that I'm quite shy and, you know, in a minute sort of thing. So I was kind of playing this shy sort of demeanour.
Right.
And meanwhile, my colleague is outside in the car listening to the whole thing through my microphone. And I've got him in an earpiece in my ear. And he is just wetting himself. Which is making me laugh as well. So I can hear him losing it in the van, and I'm just trying to, you know, remain professional.
Well, I wonder where this story's going to go. James, wait right there. I'll be with you in a sec, all right?
Scott Mills.
So our private investigator, James, is talking to us. He is telling us about the time he had to infiltrate a massage business, but didn't want a massage. Hello, James.
Hi, guys.
Did you go ahead with the massage?
No, I didn't. I had to make an excuse in the end. I said I was a bit nervous and had to go outside to get a cigarette, even though I don't smoke.
Right.
And I ran away.
Wow. Some of my friends, I know one guy in particular, hates being touched.
Mm.
So would hate the idea of a massage. Mm. But then it would be a weird thing if you put yourself in for a massage to then not go and have the massage. So you must have looked... I must have been very hard acting from you there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it was like a proper massage place, but I mean, there was no like accreditation on the wall, so I don't suppose they were proper legit.
Did you manage to get the information you needed, though?
I did. I got a video clip of it as well, which I'm told we can't play on the air.
No, we can't. You have sent that to us. I can't play it.
No.
For legal reasons. But another great story. And so you went back and told the guy that his girlfriend was working there?
Yes, yeah, and he saw the video.
Okay. So the guy was happy?
Yeah, he was happy. It was a happy ending.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's what I thought, a happy finish to the story there. James, that's a great story.
Yeah, it is, but it's not as good as the time I had to go undercover and pretend to be a celebrity scout.
Oh, well, that'll be next Friday. Thank you so much for speaking to us, James PI.
You're welcome, guys.
Have a good weekend.
And you.
Speak to you next week, James. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
Scott Mills.
Don't you remember, we had a girl called Mairead working on the show last week, and she's working on the show again today. We had her on last week, this time last week. Her mind has just been blown by something that is really not blowing mine. But, I mean, I love how amazed she is by this.
I'm assuming statistically there will be someone listening to this right now whose mind will also be blown.
100%.
I'm thinking only one or two.
Right, so should we get her? Mairead, yeah. Come in. Come on. Right, so today in the BBC canteen, it's Fish and Chip Friday. And the fish is blowing Mairead's mind.
Yeah, the thing is about this, Scott, is this is like normal fish and chips, like as everyone knows it. Normal fish and chips.
Okay, no, stop there. It is not normal fish and chips.
Right, it's normal.
But how can you say that fish and chips is normal?
What's abnormal about it?
Okay, so I did the canteen run today, went downstairs and ordered a fish and chips for Scott, okay? Then I was served the biggest fish I have ever seen in my life. No, but hang on. No.
Right, it was
standard fish. It was like bigger than the fish at the aquarium that are still alive. Why in London is everything so big? I can't cope with this. It was the biggest fish alive.
Can we just clarify a few things? That's like a normal fish and chips.
In London?
No, in anywhere.
The thing is, this is Mairead has just not that long ago moved to London from Northern Ireland, and every single day something happens where she's like, this is bonkers. What happened last night?
Well, I'm getting shortchanged in Ireland, that's for sure. That's what I'm learning. But last night, another guy who we work with, we went to a buffet just outside of London, and it was every cuisine you can imagine. We actually texted Scott to tell him how mind-blowing this was.
We're going next week. I'm coming with you next
week. Yeah, we're going to go next week. But the fish today added to the experience last night
is
making me...
You're having a blind over a week.
It's just baffling. I'm baffled.
It's not baffling at all.
When I was eating it, she was like, why are you acting normal? Like, what do you mean? She's like, that fish. Like, why are you acting so normal?
What did you imagine the fish and chips would be like?
Like, it would... Right, Chris, come on. It didn't even fit in the container. It was literally hanging out the end of the container. I at least expected it to fit in the container over chips and room for peas. There was hardly... The peas were, running underneath
it. Right, so also, when you're in the canteen, did you see this thing, right, where what they do is they get the peas, but they're mushy.
Yes, I saw the mushy peas too.
Did you?
And I thought, this is just too much. It's not closing as it is without putting mushy on top of the fish and it'll just come all over the box.
What's she on about?
It pushed me over the edge. The fish today pushed me over the edge.
It really
did. Being honest.
Fish and chips. It's fish and chips.
Right, have you ever had fish and chips?
Never, no.
How?
I don't know. I just haven't been drawn to fish and chips. I had chicken and chips today, mind you.
Good. Have you had that before?
Yeah, I've had chicken and chips before. Come on, but
Mairead, you are my absolute favourite. Just the joy that simple things bring you—it makes me so happy.
Did you enjoy it?
It was good. Thank you very much.
You won't be eating until Monday after eating that. My goodness, massive.
Scott Mills.
Yeah. Some friends went to see James Arthur last night in Cardiff. Imagine that live. That's really awkward, isn't it? I'm standing here naked.
Can't wait to see the music video.
Opening his arms like it's a presentation.
Yeah.
I'm standing here naked.
Naked.
I'm standing here. I'm stood here.
I sort of like, naked. I was listening to it thinking, this is a good song. And the chorus kicked in. It was like,
really weird.
I'm stood here naked.
It's really odd.
No, I'm sure we've lost the context of what it was about. The chorus is
catchy. He's saying that he's standing there naked.
Yeah, but why?
Well, I don't know. I didn't listen to the words. Is Mairead's fish and chips the new frostbit, do you think?
Could be,
Could be phrase.
Oh, God, you wouldn't belong getting frostbite.
Did you enjoy it?
It was good, thank you very much.
You won't be eating until Monday after eating that. My goodness.
This is BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
Hello, Dom.
How's it going?
Good, where are you today?
I'm in Crewe in Cheshire.
Okay, have you been sucked in by any Black Friday deals yet?
Not just yet, no, but I might have a look later on.
Not wrestled a man to the ground in Morrison's to get the last big TV off him?
No, I'm not quite. I'm not one of them ones, no.
Yeah.
How does it work? As the day goes on, do the offers just sort of vanish? Like, well, I've wondered that with this, because right, everyone seems to still be buzzing about it, but I thought it would be done by sort of 7 in the morning.
Is it a bit like April Fool's Day, where after midday it's finished? Because I'm getting loads of emails now going, hurry, this deal ends soon. Well, surely it's the whole day,
yeah.
No? Because I was going to maybe have a little browse online after the show later, but...
I think they just drag Black Friday on for weeks now anyway, don't they?
Well, I don't know. It feels like the end is near, but if you look at my emails.
I put this video up on Twitter this morning of this guy who walks into the shop and, like, no
I
one...
saw that.
It's like they've tried to do this big reveal. The lady opens the doors and there's one guy wanders in, another guy asks for directions to another shop.
I saw that on Twitter. It's so good.
Rubbish.
They're like, and they're expecting, like, thousands of people.
Yeah.
Literally, the doors part at, like, 6 a.m. this morning. One bloke.
Mm.
All right, Dom, you're off to see Martin Garrix tomorrow in Liverpool, right?
I am indeed, yeah.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that my banger is nothing like that at all. It's this.
Still a banger.
Yeah. Dirty with...
Dirty.
With three R's, so really dirty.
Yeah, three. Extra dirty because three R's.
Christina Aguilera, when she became Xtina. Ho! you can have that.
Bangers is fascinating today because it's 2-2. So obviously, whoever wins today wins the week. Big decision,
indeed,
Dom. My
no
choice
pressure.
Today is this. It's big. Green Day with Basket
right.
Case.
Big. Okay.
So, ooh, Green Day or what? Dirty Xtina?
Well, I do usually go for Chris.
Yes.
And today, I think I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to go for Chris today.
Oh, good man. Nice X Factor star reveal.
Legend. Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? Am I just paranoid?
You did play the right version there, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's fun. Green Day on BBC Radio 1. Matthew from North Wales says, both poor choices today. You can't say that's a poor song. Come on.
No.
To be fair, I think you should have won that.
I'm happy to win the week.
Yeah.
What a tune.
Jack in Ashford doesn't agree. Says, I've been robbed. Another does Beth. Well done, Chris, says Tom off of Bradford. And Gemma is fuming that Dirty by Christina wasn't chosen. I like that people get fuming over bangers. Zach is shook that it didn't get chosen. I can't bear that, by the way.
What, Zach being shook or
anyone,
shook?
Anyone being shook at any time, I can't bear.
Yeah, especially when it's over something like this.
I'm shook. You're not, though.
Shook. Yeah.
No, don't. Stop saying it.
This is Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.
So a guy called Charlie has contacted the show asking if we would be the voices for his panto this year.
What do you mean his panto?
Well, he's putting on the panto.
In his house?
No, in a theatre in Weston-super-Mare.
Oh, so it's a big panto. I thought this was like private panto for a minute.
No, it's a proper thing.
Oh.
And he's asked us if we will be like the voices that you'll hear at some point during the show.
That's so awesome.
We're not in the show. We are in the show, but like just recorded.
Yeah, we're not physically there as like a panto horse or anything.
No.
We're back end, front end. Mm-hmm. We're there in voice.
Got all the panto effects ready.
So. Brilliant. Right, how much have you quoted for the job?
Well, I'm doing this as a freebie.
Oh, that's rare for you.
It's a one-off.
Black Friday offer.
But I'm thinking if we do this one on air... then the other panto offers will come a flooding in.
Yes, and that could be great if we could be on a number of different pantos.
And beware, next time I will be charging. Yes. This is a one-off for Charlie in Weston-super-Mare. Right? There's a prince in it and Dandini. Which one's that? I'm not very good at pantos.
Just for clarification on this, with like the narration.
He wants it to sound like we're doing a thing on air. So I might as well do it on air now.
Also, like the radio show's in the panto.
Yes. So, like, we'd be talking about the Prince's Royal Ball on air.
Got you.
We wouldn't normally do that, obviously, but, like, he wants it to sound like we're doing part of the radio show.
Yeah, that's quite modern. Mm. So we've just fact-checked this, and it's Cinderella.
Cinderella, okay, cool. Well, I've got the script here from Charlie. Thanks for this, Charlie. If you want to set it to record now, because we are about to do your Panto script, and if you're going to see Panto in Western Supermare, then you'll hear us on stage.
So are we doing acting now?
No, we're just being ourselves. We're playing ourselves, but we're doing like a fake link.
Oh, so it's like Towie?
Yes.
You're playing yourselves,
exactly,
but it's not
that.
The real you. It's uh-huh. like a fake you.
So don't force it. You're just being yourself.
Okay.
I've got the script
just
here.
Be totally natural.
There's your copy.
Say it as you would normally say
here
it.
Here we go. This is Scott Mills from Radio 1. It was the Prince's Royal Ball last night. Did you hear about that, Chris?
Yeah. I'm just surprised that he's not managed to find a bride already.
No, I think you need to, like, just relax.
Make it more natural.
Yeah, okay, again. This is Scott Mills from Radio 1. It was the Prince's Royal Ball last night. Did you hear about that, Chris?
Yeah, I'm just surprised that he's not managed to find a bride already.
It's because of his small kingdom, lol.
I've read that he did manage to find a woman last night.
Yes.
She ran off, though.
Awkward. Is he looking to find her again?
Yeah, he's going around with a shoe on a quest to find his one true love with his mate, Dandini, as a noble steed.
Noble steed? Ho!
I'd keep running if I were her. How do you want this delivered, Scott?
I'd keep running.
Is it more
if
threatening? Is it like
I'd
tense?
Keep, no, like more like smiley. I'd keep running if I were her.
Oh, like on Friends, yeah, we yeah. sort of laugh yeah. along.
Okay, I'll go from noble steed, ho!
I'd keep running if I were her. Especially if there's not much to his crown jewels.
Well, we hope he finds her anyway. Get in touch with us this afternoon if you've had a one-night stand that's been a bit too clingy and full-on.
What's that got to do with the horse?
No idea.
It was the Prince's Royal Ball last night, and then it ends with Dandini chasing a horse, right?
Well, there's never... A horse is never mentioned.
The horse is mentioned, the noble steed.
Dandini is the horse.
Oh, Dandini is the horse.
Oh, thanks.
We've just had clarification there.
Dandini's a horse?
Well, that makes more sense then, doesn't it? Because I thought this was some kind of weird, like...
That's not true.
Dandini the horse?
No, because no. No, we'll because Google. My mate Sam was Dandini in Worthing a couple of years ago, and that wasn't a horse. We're rubbish at Panto.
No, I just...
This is why we need to prepare these kind of things more.
Cinderella is a very basic story. When you think about
Cinderella
it...
Cinderella is basic.
Cinderella's a bit basic, yeah. Right? Lost slipper.
Basic.
Lost shoe. Mm. Ugly sisters. Lost shoe.
Yeah.
Guy uses shoe to find mm-hmm. Cinderella. Mm-hmm. Cinderella goes to ball.
Yeah.
So the story itself is basic. Right. So what they do is they throw in these other characters.
Right.
Dandini the horse, I never remember from the Disney one.
Can we look that up?
Yeah, I'm just looking now.
Do some work.
Dandini on YouTube that I've just typed in isn't a horse, producer Mark.
I told you, mate Sam
put my computer on, Scott.
Okay. There's right. Okay, it's on.
First video I found is from North Devon Theatres. It says, introducing Dandini.
Hi, my name's Jenny, and I'm playing Dandini in Cinderella at the Queen's Theatre in Barnstaple.
Not a horse.
See, not a horse.
Right. What's a noble steed?
Horse.
I've never heard of that.
If someone could break down exactly what we've just said, that would be good.
Find some other Dandinis.
I found another one here.
Okay.
Enter Dandini. Mm-hmm. Meet Cinderella and Dandini.
My name's Jo, and this year I'm playing Cinderella in the pantomime.
Hello, I'm Tom Ford, and I'm playing Dandini.
Tom Ford?
Tom Ford?
I've got some of his aftershave.
What? I'm sorry, it's just another video I found.
Oh. That's... Right, well, Dandini's not a horse. Anyway, Charlie, good luck with your panto in Western Supermare, and I hope that is good enough for your panto. Mm. The work's going to flood in now, you know it.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
Scott Mills.
Hannah, help me. You've done panto, haven't you?
Yeah, Dandini is not a horse.
Right, okay. What panto have you done?
Cinderella.
Were you Cinders?
No, I was Prince Charming.
What? Awkward. Oh, well, that's confusing as well.
And Dandini? What's going on
Dandini
there?
Dandini is like the prince's like servant stroke mate.
Right.
And when the prince is like fed up with being a royal, they just like he just swaps characters.
Well, it's all really confusing.
If you're saying Dandini's the noble... Is Dandini the noble steed?
No, I don't...
Oh, you don't know.
Hang on. No. Sophie, the director of the actual panto that we're talking about, has been on. Dandini as a noble steed is a metaphor. Dandini is his sidekick.
Metaphor for what?
I Right, seriously, when did Panto get so complicated? I don't actually understand any of this.
One! Scott Mills.
We're back Monday from 1 o'clock on BBC Radio 1. Scott.